Wednesday night service. We are live on Wednesday night. To my right is Pastor Sam Ryan. I'm Pastor Tim Westerside. And we're waiting on Pastor Jim Mandel. He'll be out in a couple minutes. We're on a series of messages right now involving the glory of God, God's grace, and what grace is. And we've also been speaking a lot about Christ. And we're not talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about Christ, which is a divine nature that is in every single person in this world. And this series has really been stirring up a lot of people that have been listening out there. And it's really bringing clarity to that confusion that was going on out in the church and other different religions. So we're basically, in this ministry, we're taking away confusion and bringing truth so that people can have a right standing and a relationship with God on a daily basis. Last week, we were speaking about how God no longer dwells outside of the temple, which is the temple is you. He lives in each person if you accept Christ, the divine nature. And we were telling people that in the Old Testament, God dwelt with man, but it wasn't inside of man. Now God dwells inside of each and every person, and it's a part of that divine nature, which is Christ.
You know, we've been what we preach here is we don't just we try to bring unity to every religion out there because we all serve the same God. And what we come against, though, is prophet worship. You know, we all worship the same God, the God of love. And that God is the same God in every religion out there, pretty much, you know. And what we do is come against prophet worship. And even worshiping Jesus is prophet worship. You know, Jesus said, worship God and him only. He never said to worship himself. And everybody who ever did, he rebuked them and said, listen, he said, they came to him and said, hey, good master. He said, there's no good but the Father. So our ministry is basically to bring you to the Father and that you would establish a relationship with him. And that's what we try to do here. And everything else that you're trying to do, it isn't working, is, you know, is worshiping prophets and praying to prophets. And, you know, the only person worthy to be prayed to and worship is God. And, you know, that's the message we try to bring across.
You know, the Apostle Paul, we spoke about this on Sunday. He was basically, he even said that, I bow my knee to the Father of God, the Father God of Jesus Christ. He didn't say I bow my knee to Jesus Christ. He says I bow my knee and I serve the Father. So he even clarified that we're not to worship Jesus Christ. We're to worship the Father only because he's the one that wants the glory. You know, Jesus right now sits at the right-hand side of the Father where he's resting in glory. You know, he did his ministry. He was here. He served. He was the lamb that was slain. He acted upon obedience to the will of God, and therefore he is living in glory next to the Father on the right-hand side. But, you know, we even said, the Bible says he makes intercession. Well, that intercession is God looking at him and being reminded that he was the blueprint for all of us to follow in how he laid his life down. You know, we're all to sit here and lay our life down and lay our life down to the fleshful nature so that we can come into the divine nature. And Pastor was saying last week that when you lay your life down, you're coming into glory. That's the start of the glory, is when you lay your flesh down, you know, and you die to that. God, therefore, the glory starts to manifest. And I tell you what, people aren't drawn to flesh.
No.
They're drawn to spirit. They're drawn to the divine nature of God.
Well, that's that scripture verse that he says, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto
you.
Yeah. And what he means is by lifting up, is which is the glory, because he is originally considered the King of glory.
Correct.
You know, to clarify and to let our listeners kind of understand why we're going in the direction we're going and saying what we're saying is because it's like evolution. God is evolving and moving forward, and it's been prophesied way back when that there was like a second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as if God never dwelt with men. He has always dwelt with men all the way back from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, ever since Adam and Eve, supposedly. And with that being said, what is happening is we're increasing in knowledge.
It's
revelation. It's considered grace.
Yeah.
And grace is being poured out right now. And we are in a realm of grace and glory. The revelation knowledge of God is being poured out to where in the last days, the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. And what God
is doing, which is grace.
And what God is doing right now is he's not bringing anything new, so to say. What he's bringing in is a greater knowledge, a greater revelation of God. In the past, because of the world itself, many, many years ago, you had Asia, and Asia was stuck in Asia. You had the Israel, and Israel was stuck in Israel. And, you know, the Muslim countries were stuck in Muslim, you know, and the Hindis were stuck in the Hindis. But now, because of the world, and the world is so intertwined
now. Travel on planes and...
you have technology, which is ever-increasing, and how do you think that revelation came to make the airplanes, you know? Everything is from God, and because God has given us the intelligence and the capability to bring the unity of the world, because, God says... that God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son, that so whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Sorry, well, the divisions among us.
The Son of God is that light that is within each and every one that has been created. What was lacking was the knowledge.
The understanding, yeah.
When Jesus came the first time, he was bringing the knowledge of the light that is inside of everyone. Before, God was dwelling in temples, but he was still, I believe, dwelling with man. But the
just
knowledge.
Not inside, because they didn't understand that.
Yeah, the knowledge just wasn't allowing it. And God still dwells within temples, so to say, because when you come into this ministry and you walk through those doors in the glory barn, I mean, there's a presence of God that's like habitating in here, and a lot of people are being touched just by the presence of God. But at the same time, Jesus was trying to say to the people back then, 2,000 years ago, that, you know, God is, there's a light, a Son of God, a light in each and every one of us. And I'm the first to come out and say, I have the light, you know, arise and shine, for the glory of God is coming, you know, and here it is. And, you know, because of that, you know, the church back then crucified him because this was like out of control. And, you know, we're ready to be crucified now because we're saying the second coming of Christ is here, because we're saying now that arise and shine, stop. It's no longer about the remission of sin. You know, why don't you stop with the going to the cross? Why don't you stop about condemning yourself as if you have sin? And I think this is really where we have to really start pounding the revelation of the second coming of Christ, because, you know, with the first coming, it was about the remission of sin. The second coming is like that there is no more sin. I don't count these things against you. It's just about the glory now, the grace that is being put on us. God doesn't look at our sin anymore. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. And now it's time to move on.
You know, if you think that you're a sinner and that you're living with sin, you have not accepted grace.
No,
you're not living under grace.
You're not living under the realm of glory.
You're not.
You're not living in. You're
condemned yourself.
You're stuck in the old doctrine.
Which condemns
really.
You. The letter of the law killeth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And if you're following the letter of the law, you're condemning yourself. And that was the problem with the Old Testament. God gave them laws, and they didn't follow the laws, and then they were condemned themselves. There was no conviction leading to repentance. There was just straight condemnation. They walked around with their heads down. They threw ashes. That's why they created the wailing wall. They went to the wall and cried, and they wailed and all that, you know, all that stuff. But there was no conviction that led to repentance. It was just condemnation. They really were like primitive. I mean, in the Old Testament, that's what I can say. You know, they weren't evolving. You know, they weren't by their thinking. They were correct. They were stuck in a religion and a law that was written. And God said, you know, these people are just, okay, give me a chicken and give me an ox and you're forgiven. Oh, really? Give me a chicken and an ox and I'm forgiven? Oh, that's great. And that became a common thing. You know, they accepted that as cleansing them and making them whole. And they walked around for a while, but then they kept bringing more chickens every week. There was no repentance, which means changing the way you think.
Right. And they didn't stop doing what was creating sin.
Correct. Right.
And that's it. And this is the same flow. God is saying it's the same flow when the first coming of Christ is coming.
Yep.
And that's why he's bringing the revelation of this glory, because he's saying, I'm tired now of everybody just taking the fact that Jesus, the prophet, died on the cross.
Hello.
And now
the remission of sin is done and nobody's receiving it.
Well, they're taking Jesus as the lambs and the cows and the chickens, and they're taking
a common thing.
And the root's not being addressed
as the common thing, and they're like, "Well, that's okay. I'm going to heaven now because Jesus died on the cross for my sins."
Right. And they never change the way they think.
And they never change their habits.
Yes,
they never change the sin that they've been committing. They continue to go on and on and on. But because they do the acts and the works of religion, pretending they confess with their mouth, but their heart is so far from it, God is saying, now it's time. I'm going to count these sins against you. Because that's why this one scripture verse, what brought this all together and got us to come out now. We've been in this realm of glory for 20 years. And our listeners have to understand, this isn't anything new to us. But because we were able to be called out now, and now we're vocalizing the importance, because God is saying it's time now, is this one verse that is ringing so dear to our hearts. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. But then they said, and they pleaded, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. We healed the sick in your name. We casted out devils in your names, or whatever the things were in his name, Jesus' name. And he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you.
Correct.
Now, God is saying to his people, it's a new day, and it's time to become a new creation. And the old thing, the old ways has been done away with, and now it's the new, and we need to come into the new. It's like the old wineskins no longer hold the new wine, so we got to put on new wineskins. This wineskin that we're looking to put on is a new creation, a new creature. We have to take the old man and die to the old man and begin to put down, and that doesn't mean just, you know, pulling off your flesh. That means that your doctrine, the way you've been believing, the way you've been worshiping, the way you've been praying. God has opened up revelation to us about what prayer is. Yep. You know, it's a constant disposition of character and how you uphold your heart, not with your mouth or with your head, but your heart is looking at God and honoring and glorifying him.
Awareness.
And bringing yourself to a place of always seeking for that fresh manna and, you know, deliver me from the evil one, and making sure that we have forgiveness of others so our Father in heaven forgives us. See, I think the church really doesn't understand about, oh, well, I'm already forgiven. Really? I spoke a message, I don't know how many weeks ago it was, about forgiven and how important it was. And I was explaining about prayer and how a character of prayer was and praying without ceasing. And, you know, we don't even know what is not pleasing in God's eyes, and how much he may not forgive us. And here we're thinking, because we did something obviously wrong, that, you know, we maybe asked for forgiveness and we're forgiven because of Jesus Christ dying. I'm telling you, it's more than that.
He said,
it is not a tradition.
How do you know?
Yeah, how do you know?
How do you know that God's pleased with you? How do you know he's not pleased with you? How do you know?
How do you know? So because no one has the mind of God.
Right.
So the way you receive forgiveness is you have to learn to forgive everyone. You can't look in the past. You can't harbor anger and unforgiveness from the past. Look, a lot of people are going to hurt you. You got to get over it.
Forgive yourself.
You have to die to yesterday. And if you don't die from yesterday, and you are still living back yesterday, and you're still holding on from yesterday, I'll tell you right now, you're living death. Yep. And that's really what it comes down to. Yep. And God is saying, I want my people, I love my people so much that I don't want to count any of this against them. You know, I've already poured out a thing called grace. And grace is saying that all those things are thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. I want you to learn to live happy, and I don't want you to fall into condemnation. I mean, even Scripture says there is no more condemnation in Christ. That's that light that shines inside of us.
Yep.
Not Jesus dying on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's the light. Christ is the light, the Son of God, the light that is inside of all of us. And we need to be awakened and receive this light so that we can begin to develop the relationship with God. God is longing for us to be with him.
Yep.
And there's so much more that, you know, the body of Christ, the church, and everybody else needs to understand. Because how do we even communicate with God? You think he doesn't really understand our language. We can speak to God all we want with our mouth. That's right. There's a sound. I forget what message that I was speaking about.
4 or 5 back, you talked about the sound.
Yeah.
Of heaven that you generate.
Exactly right. And, you know, Jesus was trying to bring that realm of language out, saying if you hate your brother, you've committed a murder.
Yeah.
You see, so there's a sound in heaven that correlates with your heart, your heartbeat. And it speaks to God. He hears that coming out of your heart. And that language coming out of your heart. It's a language that is not known by man. Matter of fact, man is so deceived because our hearts are deceivingly wicked.
Yep.
And it speaks to us a certain way, but then we deceivingly move a different direction. We need to wake up and be honest with ourselves and begin to be quickened so that we know what our heart is saying.
Correct.
And we can really understand that our heart isn't cursing God. But our heart is worshiping God.
Yep.
And I think this is what he meant by the true worshipers will come in and worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yep.
Because if we're not honest with ourselves and we don't really know what our heart is saying, you know, and we're being deceived by the wickedness of it, you know, because for one, pride and ego and like we deserve something when we don't deserve nothing.
Haughtiness.
Yeah.
Being stiff-necked towards the grace, you know.
Yeah.
Because you're stuck in the old-time religion.
Exactly right. And put ourselves up on some kind of pedestal as if we deserve something when reality, we come from dust. We are going to go back to dust.
Correct.
And we don't deserve anything. So when we walk with that humility and that brokenness, then our heart begins to make that sound into the heavenly realms. And that's where God hears, because he searches to and fro looking for that broken, contrite heart. And he hears it. He hears the cry of those that are crying out to him. And, you know, it's better not to know him than to know him and be lukewarm right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
So
that's the worker of iniquity, those lukewarm, you know, people that know, like, have a head knowledge of God, but their hearts are so far from him, that's a worker of iniquity.
Yeah, and, you know, a worker of iniquity, we're going to dig into it, and we're going to begin to speak more about the worker of iniquity, and there's so much for us to begin to explain to the church out there. I really, truly hope that there are pastors listening to us right now, because the pastors, we really need the pastors to grab hold of what we're saying, because they have to instruct their flock.
Amen.
You see, it's like, I really, I'm not looking for the flock. I'm looking for the pastors, because if we can touch the pastors and get them in the realm of glory,
they can teach it to their congregations and their people.
Exactly right. And we'll be a lot more effective. effective in a shorter period of time. If we're just poking around with one or two, you know, people out there, you know, let's say 10,000, you know, listeners or what have you, that's great. But you know what? I want the one who's actually in charge and overseeing other
because it needs to be taught.
It does.
It needs to be instructed and guided, you know, because people are ignorant out there. Let's face it. There's an ignorance over this world and over people's hearts. Mm-hmm. And God's saying, I'm trying to pour my grace out. And that's why he needs the leadership mm-hmm. of these churches to grab hold of this so they can instruct them.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You know, look, I'm grateful for the revelation that he's given us. I'm grateful for my encounter and what happened in my life and why we're actually coming out now and declaring this and everything. But at the same time, I don't want to hold on to it as if this is just for us,
it's not.
It's for, yeah. I would like to reach every pastor out there, and if they would like to contact us, I would like them to get on our website and literally reach out to us, and please, we will sit down and we will answer every question that they have to ask, and you'll find out that it's all there in Scripture. You know, hopefully the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened and not have fear on them about, you know, their future, because it's going to change their life. You know, not everybody's going to be happy with them telling you that, you know, you have to, you know, start, not, you know, changing your doctrine. Not saying that it was wrong.
Build upon it. You know, if you have a heart of God and heart for God, we always had a saying 20 years ago, if you ask God for a fish, will he give you a serpent?
Mm-hmm.
No. We've been on this for 20 years, and we're crying out saying, God, you got to give it to the people. Open up their eyes of their understanding so they can receive it. If your pastors out there are listening, please heed what we're saying. Take what we're saying. Call us. Give it to your people of your church so that they can grow in the revelation and the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is for the whole wide world. This isn't just for the Christian community or the Hindu community or whatever community it is. It's for everybody, because Christ is in every single person.
Yep.
And God is putting such a burden, because he wants to rise that Christ nature up in every single person. It's a mm-hmm. resurrection time right now.
Yeah, and the walls are being pulled down. The walls are crumbling like Jericho. You know, the trumpet is being blasted.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're walking around the walls of all these denominations. Yep. And the trumpet's being blasted. And the walls are coming down.
It's true.
You know, God loves everyone. He loves the Orientals. He loves, all of them. Yep. Everyone.
Not a respecter of persons. He loves everybody.
Exactly right. And he doesn't care what level of education you are. He doesn't care where you were either born in a rich house or if you were born in a poor house.
Remember, America wasn't here when Jesus was here.
That's right. America wasn't here.
Wasn't
even
here.
And just because we're in a Western religion is we're going to empower this.
No.
You know, this is the time. It's the time. And time is short right now. And we don't know what God is doing. I'm going to tell you right now, God has its own mind. For example, just recently, a man was getting his affairs in order. And he says, oh, I'm going to start beginning to live my life now. I'm retired. I'm ready to do these things that I've wanted to do. And I'm going to begin to move on forward. And he's over there Facebooking everybody, telling them how he's going to start, you know, living his life now and everything. And guess what? He dropped dead the other day.
Yeah.
Nobody knows the hour when God comes for us. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I have a question. Are you ready for God to show up at your doorstep? You know, are you ready to die tomorrow? And I guarantee your whole spirit within you is shaking and trembling, because no one right now is about ready to die because of the revelation of the grace and glory that's not in them.
Right.
You know,
it's true. It's true.
It's a shame that things are taking place right now, and it's almost like you have to change the way you're thinking. Now, as far as the remission of sin and all that, yes, God has taken it and thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness. But I also want our listeners to know, if you willingly know that you're doing something wrong, then it then scripturally
turns into sin.
It turns into sin, and that's when sin is birthed.
Yep.
That and so when sin is birthed, that's when God looks at it. But let me tell you about grace. As soon as you say in your heart, I am no longer going to do this.
Yep.
I'm no longer going
in
to continue to birth
yep.
sin. Then God takes his grace and washes it away.
Correct.
Exactly.
He doesn't
right.
take the blood of Jesus and wash it away. He takes his grace
correct.
And washes it away.
Yep.
This is the second coming of Christ. See, the first coming was him actually saying, I'm going to be the lamb that everybody was shedding, you know, killing. I'm going to be the dove, the lamb, the cow, the whole nine yards. Okay, and I'm going to be the ultimate lamb, and I'm going to shed my blood, because he wanted to get people to get out of that condemnation of saying, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner.
You know, and Paul also said, to attest to that, he also wanted to do away with the ordinances. Mm-hmm. You know, the ordinance of all the sacraments, the ceremonies, the religiousness of things, and bring it to a pure sense of worship to God, which was within the heart. You know, he did away with the sin, but he also said, I want to do away with the ordinances too. I don't want it to be like a 12-step process, and I don't want to have to sit there and I got to go into a confession with somebody else, when we can have it right here in our heart with God.
And that's a good thing that you brought up, because God saw that that man was actually turning creation into a cookie-cutter creation.
Correct.
When God created everyone differently and unique
yep.
and special. And God wanted that variety to flow. You know, what one thing likes, that's why they got chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry ice cream. You know, where religion and the traditions were making everybody eat vanilla. When
correct.
Maybe I wanted chocolate swirl, you know, but I couldn't have it through religion. Now God is saying, you know what? I love you so much. You can have vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, or you can have them all mixed.
Pistachio,
or you can have pistachio. Yeah, you can have any kind of ice cream you want. I'm getting hungry. But the bottom line is, God is calling everything good if your heart is receiving it. If your heart says, no, it's not good, like, for instance, what might be good for Pastor Sam or may not be good for Pastor Tim, right. and what might be good for Pastor Tim and Pastor might not be good for me. You see, it's a but yet we're the lovers and the worshipers of our God.
And that goes back to your point where you were talking about willingly sinning, willingly.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament is he gave us a free will.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
That's a difference.
Yeah.
And hopefully our free will doesn't deceive us and allow us to continue to live in that sin.
That's where conviction comes
because
in.
Because you love it.
Will
that's
conviction.
Where conviction comes in. And the pastor said, if you willingly do what you know in your heart you're not supposed to do or you're convicted to do, that's when you create sin. That's why Paul said, why do I do what I don't want to do? Why do I say what I don't want to say? It's no longer me, but it's the defenses that live within me. It's the wounds that live within me. We're wounded. You know, other people are wounded
he
still.
It's because of sin that dwells within me.
Exactly.
And
right.
so it's no longer him, but sin
correct.
That is causing. And
correct.
This is what God is looking for, us to demolish sin and put it completely under our feet so that we stop birthing it.
Yep.
See, we're birthing sin. Sin doesn't exist. We're bringing it to alive. We're birthing it. And the goal is now under this grace and glory is to subdue it and put it under our feet.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
so that we are conquerors and we are victorious and we are overcomers and we walk with power. You see, and, you know, the church is going to rise up soon. You know, there are many, many out there. A worldwide revival is coming. And because God just loves, he doesn't desire anyone to suffer or perish.
That's right.
And because it is love, he's bringing more of a simplicity.
That's right.
Of a come to me thing.
A relationship.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's not this list of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. It's more of just being honest and transparent and know who you are so that you can come into the kingdom. You can come into this glory freely.
He has made it simple. where he has said, this is what God said, that the law is written on your heart. God took his finger and wrote a law on your heart, a life on your heart.
Already knows
it. It's as simple as this. The conviction of your heart is supposed to lead you. And if you're condemned in what you're doing and you still follow that, then you're creating death. If you follow the conviction of your heart, you're creating life. And that's where the separation
Correct.
Is. It's very simple. It's not a complicated gospel. The law's already written on your heart. Your heart knows what to do. Your heart's constantly leading you in a direction of conviction, saying, or inspiration, or whatever you want to say. It's leading you in a direction.
Which is the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
It teaches you all things.
Correct.
It's teaching your heart which way to move. You know, and if we... It says the unpardonable sin is when you grieve the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
If you're convicted or you're inspired to do something and you constantly ignore it and you're pursuing something else, you're grieving it.
It's not brain surgery. God made it easy for everybody to get it.
Yep.
And it's just simply your heart is going to tell you what to do and you got to follow it. That's how easy it is.
Well,
when you're
healed.
You know, when you're, yeah.
when you know the
well,
grace.
I believe that if you're open to seeing the truth,
yeah.
God will just start leading you.
Yep.
If you step back from what you're doing and you just forget everything lies behind you and you're looking for truth, God will meet you there. You just got to knock.
See, the issue with what is happening is because of the simplicity of this gospel, you know, it's almost like the persuasive words of man. What am I going to do if they don't need me anymore? You see?
Ding, ding, ding.
And what God is saying, and he's calling us to bring a gospel that is so simple for anyone to follow.
Anyone. Yeah.
So that man is not needed.
That's right.
If you look back at traditional religions,
yeah.
There was always like a high priest.
Correct.
Now we call ourselves pastors because that's the tradition right now that is flowing. But really, we just want to teach what we have to show you the way and allow you to have a relationship with God, the true living God, not the pillow God and not this other God.
Porcelain God or whatever.
But to have that relationship. And then once you're on the road,
You're free.
You're free.
Once he put you in God's arms, it's over.
Yeah.
He has you.
One touch, that's all you need. And then you're, now granted, we encourage those who want to come alongside of us.
And keep learning.
And build and learn.
Learn
and,
with us.
And build.
And help other people.
Right.
Come into this.
Just to confirm what you're saying.
It's not just to help yourself, but it's to help other people too.
To confirm
exactly
what he's
right.
saying, God, they went to Jesus and they said, hey, Rabbi. And Jesus
yeah.
said, call no man teacher. Call no man Rabbi. You have one teacher. It's your Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said to people.
Yeah.
Don't call me teacher. There's one teacher. It's
See,
your Father in heaven.
This is the thing that's really exciting. Jesus was trying to bring this message 2,000 years ago.
Correct.
So it's not like we're not bringing a message that is foreign, that we're bringing a message that's foreign. It's not foreign.
Same.
It's the same exact message, but the problem was the ears just weren't open to understand or hear it.
It wasn't the time.
The eyes couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And yes, it wasn't the time. Now, we look at it, what, you know, Christ Jesus came back 2,000 years ago. You know, God, one day is 1,000 years to God. And I was trying to share, you know, with those that are close to me. You know, God is moving quickly, but yet at the same time, one day is 1,000 years
Correct.
To us.
Yeah.
So could this be like the third day, you know, the kind of... You know, where we're entering into a resurrection.
He rose on the third day.
Yep. And this is really what it all comes down to, because we are becoming resurrected, where the flesh, we die with Christ, we're raised with Christ. And it's a resurrection time. It's a time for our flesh to literally die with
Correct.
And be laid down, and then take this light that we have in us and let it transform us.
Yes.
Let it... You
Let's
know,
shine.
Yeah, and if you are broken and you are really yielded to the supreme being, our creator, the universe, if you're really sincere in your heart, I'm going to tell you right now, that in itself has just sparked the light.
Correct.
It's that simple.
True. Correct.
And once that light is sparked and you sincerely laid it down, saying, God, I don't really quite know you, but I know you by faith. You're a creation of the universe. You are the universe. You're the supreme being, a God that I can't see, but I'm going to see you through faith. Here I am.
That's that spirit crying out.
there's the light.
Yep.
The light has just shined.
Yeah.
And now you just continue. And now, like Pastor Tim said, if you ask for a fish, will he give you a serpent? No. If you're sincere and you say, God, this is what I want. This is my heart's desire. And I'm going to wait on you now. God, you know my heart. This is what I want. You say you never give me more than I can handle, but this is what I want. I obviously, if I desire this, this is your desire too. You know, yep. God planted life inside of you. So if there's a desire that you have, that's called hope. Hold on to that hope because that's the life of God. And you just hold on to it with patience.
Right.
You hold on to patience because patience develops character. You might not have the character and you might not be ready to handle what God wants to give you through your desires, through your hopes. And so we just need to surrender and rest in him, saying, okay, Lord, I know that you planted a hope in me, so I'm going to patiently wait now. And by then, he's going to create a character, and when he gives it to you, you're going to be able to handle it.
Yep.
You know, in this hour right now, I had a vision that God was up there with tears in his eyes, and he's saying, religion has really tainted who he is. He said, my people can't come to me because of the religion put guilt and shame and condemnation on them, and they felt guilty and shameful even they know God. And God's saying now he just wants his grace being be poured out so that people can come and have a personal relationship with him. And that's gonna make him happy, and it's gonna make you happy. It's gonna be like a translucent life. Whereas before, you're hiding behind all this guilt and shame and condemnation, because I know people out there to tell me every day, I can't step foot in the church because I'll burn up, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's because religion has made them feel like they're a sinner and they're guilt and they're shameful and they're condemning themselves for, you know, what they do out there. And it doesn't matter. God doesn't care. He says, come as you are humbly like a little child. That's all he's asking you to do.
You know, those ones that say, I'm going to burn if I go into the church, I got to tell you, they're the ones who are called.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Religion builds up pride. Mm. You see?
Yeah.
As soon as people grab hold of religion,
self-righteous,
they begin to get prideful.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm this, I'm that. And they're bringing this pride up and they're
boasting.
They're laying it all up and all.
Yeah.
You know, I would say to anyone out there who wants to argue with me as far as, let's say a pastor out there, okay, that if you don't think your religion doesn't bring pride, then take pastor off your label.
Yeah. Don't call yourself anything.
Yeah. Don't call yourself a pastor anymore.
You know what I mean?
You know.
We don't go around saying, hey, this is Pastor Jim. This is the only reason we do it here is so we can identify with who we are in here.
Yeah, to recognize.
If I'm in a supermarket, nobody knows I'm Pastor Tim or what have you. I don't even care. You know what I mean?
We just say, hey, how you doing, Tim? How you doing?
Right. It's
good.
We're not here to build a humongous congregation, but what we're here to do is release this word, release this message so that everybody has an opportunity to grab hold of it and come into a right standing with God.
Yeah. Hey, look, I would like to have, I'll be honest, I would like to have a lot of people come alongside and help build and get the message out more and more and to come along, because there is power in numbers, you know, when you have a lot more people.
Or even if pastors grab a hold of this message, contact us.
Yeah.
And then they take it back to them. Maybe they're in Nebraska or California or Norway or what have you. And then they could start teaching their flocks.
Well, we would be even more than happy to come and hold some crusades if they like, you know, hold up some conferences.
Absolutely.
And be able to, you know, literally teach the revelation and the glory and elaborate and explain just as we are explaining now. And so that this way, you know, their congregations can grow and be transformed more into his image.
Yeah.
you know, right now I look at all the doctrines out there are stagnant ponds.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, prophetically speaking.
It really is. It really is.
You know, you're talking about draining the swamps.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of swamp out there that just needs to be letting the water flow. You know, yep. Let the water flow. Bitterness and hatred and anger is all in immaturity.
Yeah.
It's anxiety.
It's all immature.
Yeah. Yep.
It's all immature. And, you know, look, there's a lot of differences and a lot of different views and all that other stuff. And everybody's subject to their own opinions. But
just respect it. Who cares, you know?
But my point is what I'm saying is you really aren't subject to an opinion about this truth.
Correct. Correct.
This is not a time where you can say, debate well, that's it. Your opinion.
Or debate it.
You know, that's your enlightenment. That's not really how I see things. That's how you see things. This is a sincere word of telling the church to wake up. Because it's about your eternal life. It's about salvation. It's about coming into that place in an eternal realm of glory. And, you know, the world, I'm going to tell you right now, don't understand the eternal realm. Mm-mm. They don't know until they leave this earth, and then that's when they really find out. Well, I'm here to testify. I left this earth and I came back. And I know that there is an eternal realm, and it's real. And the church better wake up, because they're all going to be duped. They're all going to be fooled. And the saddest thing that I would ever want to see is someone who really has a sincere heart that goes and says, but Lord, Lord, I mean, if you can hear that scripture verse, they pleaded out and said, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I would tell you that is like so cold coming from a God who loves us so much and has given us such an outpouring of grace to turn around and say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Well, obviously somebody like us must have been speaking to you and you had rejected this truth.
Yep.
Yep.
In order for him to say, get away from me. Have I not sent my angels to you to show you the way? Have I not had, oh, hallelujah. Have I not had my servants come to you and prophetically speak to you? Have you not heard? And now you have rejected the truth because you feared your congregation, or you feared your reputation.
Correct.
Or you feared your image.
Yep.
Or you were so proud that you couldn't take the title off your name. You know, even Jesus walked around and said, don't call me good, for there is no one good but my Father in heaven.
Yep.
He says, why do you call me teacher? Why do you call me rabbi? Why do you call me this? You see? You know, we got to really understand the heart. And I hope and pray that there are those that are listening to us tonight, really search out their heart and the motives of their heart and ask themselves, if God does come today, it's not about you being a good person and smiling and not bringing offenses to people. It's about what your heart is saying and how you speak to God, our eternal God.
To your heart. Yep.
Are you God who is the God of the universe? You're speaking to him. Are you cursing God or are you blessing God? That's my question to those that are listening. I say, I hope. You know, I don't even know.
That's right.
But I hope I'm blessing God.
How about this? How about when people's hearts are murmuring and complaining constantly and they're not doing anything about it, but they're just lingering in that? Do you think God doesn't see that? Because he knows the heart, and he's sitting there saying, hey, that's a worker of iniquity also. Because there's no worship in that. It's you're worshiping something else. You're not worshiping the true living God, because that's why he said, I'm going to give you joy and peace and righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's no joy, peace, and righteousness in your heart, how can you be worshiping God?
It's very hard. Pastor was talking about the pastors out there and the leaders out there, and you know, he was saying that, you know, you can't worry about your congregation. You can't. And what Tim said earlier was vital. He said that we're not telling you to change your doctrine. We're just telling you to take the foundation that you've already given them and build on it.
Yep.
That's the most important part, because it says in Hebrews 6, it says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, like he said earlier about going back to the cross, and of faith in God. You know, instructions about cleansing rites, and, you know, you can't fear because, yeah, you did a good job building the foundation, because, and you can just say to yourself, I just didn't know, you know, and now we're telling you, you know, somebody's got to get it, and unfortunately it was us. We didn't want it. God gave it to us because we didn't want it, and now we're preaching something to people that they're thinking about whether they want it. But, you know, we really didn't want it. And now that we got it, we just got to get it out. It's like a river flowing out of us. And don't be afraid of this. You know, embrace it. And watch what God does to your ministry. It'll be a ministry of power and no more just word, you know?
You know, one thing, too, Pastor Sam, is we humbled ourselves to receive this. I mean, in the beginning, it was like, God, are you really saying this? You know, because it was a new revelation that came from the throne. It was grace.
It went against every religious teaching that we ever had. Every religious teaching we ever had. It went against every single one where they worshiped prophets. They worshiped Jesus.
Yep.
And it went against everything that we learned growing up from old-time religion.
Old religion.
Wine and old wineskins brought that to us. And God was trying to bring new wine and new wineskins, and that's what we got now.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying, like, the people out there, the pastors, the leaders, be open, please. Just humble yourself and say, okay, you know what? Maybe I don't have everything, you know? And God is doing a new thing, you know? But it's not new.
Yep.
You know, it's just that he wants to open up your eyes and he wants you to come deeper. He wants you to come deeper in a revelation of his love and his mercy and his righteousness, you know?
You know, in the book of Revelations, it's leading towards this revelation of glory and grace.
Yep.
And if people have eyes to see, everyone out there is trying to translate the book of Revelation.
Correct.
They're trying to pinpoint the end of days and all this other stuff, when the reality of it is, it's coming to this revelation here of grace and glory.
Amen.
And, you know, it says that he's coming back for a bride.
Prepared.
And, prepared bride.
Yep.
And he's looking for that bride. You know, and there is some false doctrine thinking that they're already the bride of Christ, you know.
But they never decrease the flesh.
No, there's no form
and there's
of
no
bride.
Glory, and there's no in the glory either.
Without this divine revelation, without the renewing of the mind, without drinking the new wine. See, Jesus did a miracle, and it was his first miracle. His first miracle was to change the water into wine. And he said to Mary, it's not my time yet. He was saying that there was a revelation that is being released, and it's not the time yet.
Yeah.
It was prophetic in the sense that it's the time now. And he took the watered-down message, and he turned the water into wine.
Right.
And now we are now having new wine.
Yep.
And we are moving on from that water, that watery, that did nothing. I mean, that doctrine that was being spoken about, you know, Jesus dying on the cross for your sins, and if you come to the altar and receive him as your personal savior, you know, you'll have all this divine glory. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was watered down. It was watery.
You know, one thing Jesus said was, greater things you will do because I go to my Father, right? You know what the greatest thing is? Salvation. His message was in parables. And those who had an ear to hear, God opened up their ears to hear it. Not many people heard it. They didn't understand it. This is the new revelation. This is the new wine, where greater thing is leading somebody into the true salvation of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is the greatest gift. It's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody can repent and come to know the living and true living God inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the true salvation.
It's kind of like, you know, I ask people all the time, why did Jesus come for? What was his whole job? What was his whole goal? And they say to die for the sins of the world. And I say to them all the time, then how's there still sin?
Right.
If Jesus came to die, when then how's there still sin? If that was his job, then how's there still sin? And you say you worship Jesus, but you're still a sinner. Yeah. How's that possible? Sin was abolished. Sin was, the power of sin was taken away a long time ago. You know, like you said earlier, but you know, that's, it's crazy. People believe in Jesus, and that was his whole job, and there's still sin. You know,
and if you look at it, did Jesus really teach anything?
Not to the people.
No, he spoke in parables. All parables,
crazy parables. Yeah.
And every teaching that Jesus spoke was all really a revelation of glory that is now.
Correct.
The one who actually taught the teachings was Paul, whose life was transformed on the road of Damascus.
Through grace.
Through grace.
Revelation and knowledge.
Exactly right. And Paul has been trying to speak to the church the whole time about this grace and this glory that we're talking about.
Yep.
And the eyes have just been closed. There are powers and principalities that have been ruling this world since creation. Yep. And they have blinded. And the reason why they have been blinded is really because of the hearts of men and women who have just had this pride in them, who have developed where they didn't want to decrease. They wanted to be puffed up.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they wanted to be put in a position of leadership, or put in a position of labels.
Worship me.
Or put in a position of recognition of some sort or another. When in the reality of it is, God doesn't care about this life here. He cares about our eternal life. And he doesn't want any of us to be puffed up in that form. He rather say decrease so that I can increase. And, you know, it's going to be a rude awakening for a lot of individuals who, you know, don't heed this word. And then they go into that realm of eternity, and then they hear that word, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." It's sad.
It's ringing. I mean, it's ringing.
It just makes me want to cry. It really does. And those that will humble themselves and call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what did he say? Those who come and humble themselves shall be saved. And, you know, we got the red light. We're out of time now. We have to move on. But please keep logging on. Keep listening, because we're going to move on past this now. I truly believe that it's time now to move on the conflict and the issues about the prophet worshipings and all that other stuff. We're moving on.
Yeah.
I truly believe it's time. We have people here that need to be fed, and we have to feed them and keep moving on so that they can be transformed into the grace and into the glory, so that their relationship, so they know how to pray in that spirit language, and that they can grow in the heavenlies and be able to have the interpretation of the language of what God is saying, and be able to know that they are communicating with God on a 24-hour basis, just within their own heart.
Amen.
I could sit in a chair and not say a word, but I'm in praise and worship with God.
Communing with God.
And I'm hearing him and speaking to him, and he's speaking to me, and there could be storms around me.
It doesn't matter
because you enter a place,
right,
and people need to come into this place. It's called the kingdom of God. And I hope and pray that they will grab hold of it. Look, I can't open up anybody's eyes. Only God can.
Yep.
We can't open up anybody's ears. Only God can.
Yep.
My prayer and my desire is that it would just lean heavy on the hearts of those that are listening. And say, you know what? These guys got something special. They have a relationship with God. I want that. They got peace. They got joy. You know, they can quiet the storms.
Yep.
I want that. I want that because my life is not the way it should be.
Yep.
I confess that I know God, but my life is in torment. Yep. I'm not happy. I'm not full of joy. There's things that are troubling me, and I can't control it. And I'm in bondage. I have chains, and I'm in prison, and I want to be broken out. And I hope and pray that that's what becomes to those that are listening and saying, I want to be broken out of this prison, and I want to become free. I want to become free. I'm free, and those that are free are free indeed.
And hey, just tune in this Sunday. Our next service is Sunday. Log on to our website, www.glorytothenations.org. We're going to be here Sunday. We're going to bring you another awesome message. Please, just tune in. There's also a donation button on there. So if you'd like to give into this ministry so we can keep the light on in here, we can keep the messages rolling to you, please just hit that little PayPal button on there and donate whatever you can donate. You know, we're not asking for much, but you will be blessed. You'll see what God will do in your life.
Yeah, you know, it's I had a gentleman kind of slap me around the other day, and he says, you know, Jim, you really do have to ask. And if you don't ask, I always say, you know, but I want God to lay on their heart. He's like, but you still got to ask. You know, you still got to ask, because if you don't ask, then how's God going to work through them, you know,
right,
and be able
right.
to, you know, touch them? And then he says, you know, Paul said, I do this for your account. You're robbing blessings from them if you don't ask them.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? You're right. So as Pastor Tim said, hit that PayPal button and sow that seed into this ministry so that God can bless you.
Because every seed brings back a harvest.
Every
yeah.
seed.
Every seed. Whether you sow a good seed or a bad seed, it brings back a harvest. This is good ground here.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And if you sow a seed here, you have three men sitting here who've seen sowing seed in here have brought back incredible harvest in all three of us. That's why we're saying, give, you know, give for yourself. Don't give for us. Mm-hmm. Give for yourself. Sometimes when you give, it breaks things off in your spirit, breaks things off in you, and you'll bring back a harvest. It might be what you're waiting for. It might be your next explosion. It might be the biggest job you ever wanted, or a big break. Who knows what it'll be?
Not to cut you off, but we're running out of really big time here. But to get this in, I know that there has been other ministries out there that actually abused this law of giving and receiving.
$10,000 and $1,000.
And they got jets.
And it's sad.
It is sad.
And I can relate to those out there that are, you know, saying, oh, yeah,
skeptical.
You're just, yeah,
yeah,
skeptical. That's a good word. And, look, I just want to apologize for them.
Yep.
I want to say I'm sorry for them abusing this truth.
We've been abused, too. All three of us have been abused by ministries.
Yeah, and we understand what it's like.
Yep.
And that's what made us really hold back from really asking, because we didn't want to be...
We didn't want to burden anybody.
And become like hypocrites, like those people.
But then we realized that you have to give to receive, and that's how you receive, is to give. And it even means for your money. So remember
that. It's for your own account. It's for your spiritual account. It's for your earthly account. God wants to show you who he is in your life, and one way is by giving.
He wants to bless you beyond
Amen.
Measure. It's true.
Yeah. So with that being said, you know, we all want to say we're sorry for those that were out there that abused this seeding law out there.
It tried its place.
But, give a little and see if God doesn't bless you with that. And then... Do me a favor. If you see a harvest out of that little seed that you sow,
testimony.
Then give us a testimony. But
I want to say
so that you will be blessed double fold and triple fold. And so you're never going to know until you test it.
Right.
You're going to know until you taste it. You're never going to know until you try it.
Dip your toe in the water.
That's right. And so I hope and pray that you dip your toe.
Amen.
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 Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Yeah. All right.